two brothers. And these two brothers kind of took over the family business. And they weren't real super excited about the family business. But it was one of those things that was just expected of them. Because you see, their father and their father's father and their father's father's father and so on, all ran this business. And maybe you've been in these situations before or talked to them. They didn't really want to do it, but it was just kind of the natural course of their life. So that's what these guys did. They took over this business and they began to run a fishing business. That's what they had. They had a whole fleet of one ship is all they had. And so they went out every single day, every single morning. They prepared their boat, went out and fished all day long. Came home at night, cleaned things up, and went back out and did it again. You'd say these guys pretty much had kind of a mundane existence. Every single day it was the same whole process, day in and day out. And these guys would sit on this boat and they would dream. They would look out at the sea, they look out at the waves and just dream about something so much bigger than just fishing. But where they were in life, every day, they were fishing. Well, as you can imagine, this was not settling really well in the hearts of these two guys, and so they continue to pray. When they go to church on the weekends with their family, they would pray, God, would you expand my territory? God, I want to do something more with my life than what I'm doing now. And so day in and day out, they would say these prayers, and it seemed like God wasn't listening to them. It seemed like those prayers were just falling on deaf ears. As they were continuing to go through their business, things were beginning to hit a lull. They weren't doing very well in their business. In fact, on one particular day, they hadn't caught any fish. In fact, they were heading in the afternoon a little early because they couldn't even pay the bills on that day. And so as they headed in, they came into the docks, they came in towards the pier where they were going to tie up their boat for the day, and they noticed there was a guy there. And this guy kind of called out to them, said, hey, I'm just passing through town. I was just wondering, do you take out fishing expeditions? And these guys said, no, we don't do that. We're commercial fishermen. We don't do that, you know. But one of the brothers looked at the other and said, you know what, we had many money today. What can it hurt? So this guy jumped out on their boat and they headed out into the waters to go fishing. Now these two brothers had fished these waters their entire life. Their father and their father's father and their father's father's father had fished these waters. They knew where to go to catch a couple fish and make this stranger happy. So they headed out and kind of parked someplace and began to cast out to catch a few fish. Hour goes by, not a single fish. The stranger that was just walking through town, passing through town, said, why don't we go over here? The guy said, no, that's not a good place to go. We fished these waters all our life. This is where we need to stay. Another hour goes by. No fish. Stranger says, why don't we go over here? Why don't we go over here? It looks like it'd be pretty. No, this is where we need to stay. And this stranger kept asking, well, why don't we go over there? And finally, the older brother said, sure, let's go over there. We're about done anyway. It's almost dark. Let's go over there and see if you can catch some fish. And so they took their boat over there, and they cast out into the water. One fish. Two fish, red fish, blue fish. They kept catching fish after fish after fish, and they just kept filling up until they were completely out of bait, and the boat was filled, and these two guys, these two brothers were looking at each other like, what is going on? We've never caught anything over here before. And so they began to take their boat back to the docks, and the stranger who was just passing through town was grinning from ear to ear. And these two guys didn't know who he was. Didn't ever see him before. And they got to the docks and they were going through their mundane routine of getting the boat cleaned up and prepared. And the stranger kind of looked at these two guys and said, is this all you want from life? To fish? He said, why don't you come with me? Let's go fish for some men. Story of Andy and Simon. Two of the early disciples who prayed a prayer and said, God, I want more out of my life. God, I want to make an impact for you. And they were lifting up this prayer of Jabez. They were lifting up the same prayer. I love this simple prayer. Two verses is all it is. Two verses out of this, about this obscure guy in an obscure passage of the Bible, in an obscure little red Old Testament book. These two powerful verses changed the world. So let's just look at these one last time. It's found in 1 Chronicles. So if you have your Bibles, go and open them there. We've been there the last couple of weeks. And let me just read to you one more time this prayer of Jabez. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Now, if you remember, this guy's name literally meant pain, anguish, toil, strife. I mean, he grew up with that label attached to himself. But this is also a guy, maybe because of that label that was attached to his life, said, "I want to live above the rest. I want to live on a higher plane. I want to live on a more honorable level with honorable qualities like honesty and integrity and compassion and humility." He wants to soar above the majority. And so as scripture says, he was more honorable. I mean, this was a guy who recognized the greatness of God. And he came to him with these great expectation kind of prayers. I mean, this was a guy who believed the unbelievable, who prayed to receive the inconceivable. And listen to the simple prayer that he offered to God. It said this, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain.' So God granted him what he requested." Now, as I told you the very first week of this series, the very best thing that you can do for your life is the same thing that Jabez did. He simply said, "God, I need you. I can't do this on my own. I want a relationship with you. God, I am desperate to walk with you day in and day out." This prayer is not about, "God, give me this," or "God, give me that." It's a humble cry for God's unlimited power and mercy and grace in our lives. I mean, he had a deep longing for God to come into his life in a supernatural way and use his life to make a difference. And I know some of you in this room, I've been there too. Some of us have a lot of hurt. Some of us have a few hang-ups. Some of us may even have some habits that we're still holding on to that keep us kind of stuck in neutral, that at best just keep us coasting through life. And you know what coasting's all about, don't you? The only way you can coast is when you're going downhill. And that's just the way it is. So some of you are going to say, "Hey, I'm going to muster up some strength. I'm going to muster up some willpower." You're going to say, "Hey, this time I'm really going to do it. I am going to get it right this time." And so this time you're going to try again, once again, by your own strength, to try to pull it all together, to make that relationship right, to conquer that addiction, or to heal that emotional wound, or silence those haunting memories, or achieve this higher goal. But just like every time before, you'll get frustrated, you'll quit, and ultimately, you'll fail. You'll fail. You know, anyone who's ever been to a recovery class knows the very first step, and it's right out of the Bible. And it's simply to admit that you are powerless on your own. That your life, the way that you've been trying to manage it and run it, that it's completely unmanageable now. And anyone who's ever been to a recovery class also knows their definition of insanity. You know what it is? Doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, expecting different results. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people who are exhibiting some pretty insane behavior. And this Jabez guy, he looked around. He looked around his life at other people and said, "You know what? God, I want to live a different way. I don't want to run my life anymore. I don't want my name, pain, to be my legacy. I mean, why would I keep doing the same things over and over and over again and expect different results? I mean, why would I try by my own feeble strength to live my life when I have a God, the God of the universe, who loves me and wants to be involved in my life? He is smarter than I am. He's wiser than I am. He's more powerful than I am. He's more creative than I am. To not ask him, to not ask him to be a part of my life, now that's truly insane behavior." Now you remember, I've told you there are four components to this prayer. Simply starts off, "Bless me indeed," which means, "God, would you come into my life? God, I need you. God, I'm desperate to have a relationship with you." The second part is, "Enlarge my territory," which simply means increase my sphere of influence. The third part of it is, "I pray that your hand would be with me, God, that you would guide me as I go about all the things you have in store for me." And the fourth part is that you would keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain in my life or in anybody else's life. Now, this prayer of Jabez is not some secret formula. This is not some incantation that you say, if you get the words right, you'll get everything you've ever wanted, everything you've ever dreamed of. That's not what this prayer is about. God's not a magician. He's not a genie. This prayer is about God's will becoming our will, about our will becoming God's will. This is about asking God in his infinite wisdom to get involved in your life. But you know what? I think it's also dangerous because sometimes we can swing to the completely polar opposite and become very super spiritual and begin offering prayers to God. You know those pain kind of prayers, those God make my life miserable kind of prayers? We might offer those up thinking that's more spiritual. God's going to use that to enlarge my territory. So we pray, God, make me a missionary to Antarctica, you know? Or God, give me leprosy. Or God, remove all my worldly possessions. And we begin to offer those prayers. You see, sometimes we go to the other extreme because we don't believe that God really does want to bless our lives. Now, growing up in southern Indiana, we had a guy named Earl Pitts, and he was from Mississippi. I don't know if you've ever heard of Earl Pitts. He was called the All-American Redneck, all right? And this guy was the redneck all the way before Jeff Foxworthy and Larry the Cable Guy, all right? And this guy had, one day, he did this little rant on the prayer of Jabez. And listen to what he said, and I'm going to try to do my best to bring out my good old redneck from southern Indiana voice here for you. It says this, you know what can make me sick? There's a bunch of Christians out there being taken to the cleaners by this prayer Jabez thing, saying all you got to do is say, God, give me this, and God, give me that, and God will give it to you. God ain't no Santa Claus. God's got better things to do than sitting around heaven wondering who to give a mink coat to. I wonder who's going to give the winning lottery ticket to. I mean, if God would prove me wrong by putting a new bass boat in my driveway, I wouldn't disagree with him. Hallelujah, amen to that. I mean, all you got to do is read the Bible and you see what God's really about. I mean, when God really loves you according to the Bible, he makes your life miserable. He loved Joseph and he threw him in a pit. He loved Jonah and he got ate by a whale. He loved Daniel and he put him in a lion's den. You see, when God really loves you, he makes your life miserable. I guess that's why I'm married to Pearl. You know? See, it's true that sometimes God will use these tough circumstances to expand your territory. I mean, sometimes God will use misery. Sometimes God will use trials to expand a person's territory. I mean, he did it with Jesus, didn't he? I mean, think about Jesus' ministry. When he first started out, thousands upon thousands of people were following him all around the countryside. I mean, they were hanging on every single word that Jesus spoke. I mean, he was feeding them. He was teaching them. He was healing them. But then he began to talk about the kingdom of God. He began to talk about sacrifice. He began to talk about our will becoming God's will and God's will becoming our will. He began to say things like, you need to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. And guess what happened to those crowds? They disappeared. In Jesus' expanded territory, it became 12 guys. 12 guys, and that's it. And then Jesus went on to die on the cross between two convicts. And everybody fled, everybody left, and Jesus was left there all by himself. And if you would take a snapshot right then and look at his ministry, you'd say, wow, what a failure. But some 2,000 years later and billions of lives being changed, I think we could build a very strong case that Jesus accepting this pain and misery in his life, God used that to expand his territory. And sometimes that's what God does with our lives. He uses these things that just aren't the most fun things in life to expand our territory. But you see, it's not any more spiritual to pray, God, bring on the pain. God, bring on the misery in my life. Because this prayer, you're actually coming to God and saying, God, I need you. God, I can't do this by myself. God, I want to make a huge difference in my life for you. But I can't do it. I need your help. I want my life to count, God, but I can't do this alone. You see, that's what this whole expand our territory prayer is about. You see, you look here in, at Jabez, and you see what he prayed about when he prayed about expand my territory. I mean, he was praying for the boundaries in his life to change. I mean, that's all we can really discover from these two verses here. And he was talking about land. He was talking about boundaries. But we know that Israel had already received its boundaries ages ago. And in Old Testament law, it was a huge sin to move a boundary stone or to move a boundary line. And so Jabez didn't want to take matters into his own hands. He was more honorable than that. So he came to God and said, God, I need your help. God, would you expand my territory? Now, when I pray this prayer, this expand my territory prayer, I'm not praying for more land. I got enough grass to mow already, all right? But when I'm praying this prayer, there are a couple things that come across my heart. Four things that I want to share with you this morning. The first one is this. God, I want you to increase my sphere of influence. God, I want you to increase my sphere of influence. God, as I move throughout the community, as I move throughout my world, God, would you expand my sphere of influence that I can be influential in other people's lives? Wasn't it Dale Carnegie who a number of years ago taught this course, How to Win Friends and Influence People? You remember that? Had a class where you can show up and they could teach you how to be more charming and more winsome so that you can go out in society and be influential by the way you're graceful and the way you're elegant. Well, my mom thought it was a good idea when I was 13 years old to send me to manor school. You know, I guess she thought her little redneck kid was, it's time for him to go and get some manners, running around in, you know, army boots and carrying my little knife on my side wasn't good enough anymore. So she sent me for 12 weeks, 3 hours every Wednesday night. Yes, I'm still in therapy about it. She sent me to hang out with 18 girls, and at 13, that wasn't a good thing, all right, I'll tell you that, and to learn how to treat a lady or how to set a table and to know which fork or which knife to use. And at that point in life, I didn't care about any knife but the knife I carried in my pocket, you know? But let me say this. I don't think we need Dale Carnegie. I don't think we need etiquette classes to learn how to be more influential in society. I think we need the Word of God, the wisdom of God's Word. And when I pray this prayer, God, would you expand my sphere of influence? I think he's pointing me to a couple scriptures. He's saying, Jason, are you serious about that prayer? Because if you are, then I want to see how you cooperate with what I tell you to do. And so I look at verses like Colossians chapter 3 that says this, work hard and cheerfully at all you do, just as though you were working for the Lord and not merely for men. What he's simply saying there is, hey, you want to increase your sphere of influence? Well, be the best you can be on the job. Stop complaining. Work hard. Bring a great attitude with you every single day. And just see if you're not more honorable. Just see if you don't make a difference. Just see if you're not more helpful. Just see if your influence doesn't expand. And when I pray this prayer, God, expand my sphere of influence, he takes me to scriptures like Romans chapter 12. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. God's saying, you want to increase your sphere of influence? Then do simply what I've asked you to do. You want to increase your sphere of influence? Then you need to start praying, God, help me be obedient to you. Because God wants to know, are you willing to live among his people and influence them with the way you live your life? Then just do what God's already told us to do. Now, the second thing I'm praying about when I'm praying this expand my territory is this. God, energize my unique talents and abilities. God, would you energize my unique talents and abilities? And you know why I put that spin on it? It's because I want to take the envy out of it. I want to take the envy out of it so that you're not saying, God, would you expand my territory like his? Or God, would you make me more beautiful like her? Or God, would you give me a position like them? I'm just simply coming to God and say, God, here I am. This is all that I am. Take me for what I am. I want to make a difference for you. But God, to make that kind of difference, you're going to need to energize those unique gifts and abilities that you put in me. Zechariah 4:6 says this, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. So if I'm going to be the best dad I can be, if I'm going to be the best father I can be, if I'm going to be the best leader I can be, the best preacher I can be, then it's not by my might. It's not by my strength. It's not by my intellect, but it is by God's spirit that I can do those things. When I'm praying, God, expand my territory, I'm saying, God, would you energize those gifts inside me? Listen to what it says in Romans 12. Let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Love from the center of what? Love from the center of who you are. And don't fake it. You see, what this prayer is saying is simply this: God, thank you. Thank you, God, for making me unique with my gifts, my abilities, my talents, my personalities. And God, I need you to know this. God, if you want to use my life to make a difference, then there's a limit to what I can do on my own. So God, I am asking you, I'm inviting you to supernaturally come into my life and energize those gifts and abilities that you have put into me so that I can make a bigger difference than I have ever dreamed of on my own. You see, that's what it means to pray this prayer. God, expand my territory. The third thing it means is this: God, open my eyes to the opportunities that are already around me. God, open my eyes to the opportunities that are already around me. Because let me tell you, church, your territory is a lot bigger than you think it is. Your territory already is a lot bigger than you think it is. You just need to look around you. I mean, you're praying, God, expand my territory. You're praying, God, would you make my borders bigger? And God says that they already are. Look around. Open your eyes. You know, I think Jesus' disciples probably talked about this a lot. I think Jesus overheard them having a conversation once, saying, you know what? I hope someday I become somebody, because I want God to use me someday to make a difference. I want God to use me someday to do something big. Now, I want God to use me someday to just make a difference in this world. And maybe they talked about Jabez. Maybe they said, you know, remember that Jabez guy back in the Old Testament? Yeah, you know what he prayed? He said, God, expand my territory. Man, I hope God does that for us someday. And we read on in John chapter 4, and Jesus finishes this conversation with a woman at the well. She's excited. She cannot believe she has just met the Messiah. And she is so excited that she runs back to town and she tells everybody, I have met the Messiah. And people come flooding from town. They come out to meet Jesus. And Jesus looks over at those disciples and he says, guess what, boys? Someday is here. Open your eyes. Here they come. And listen to what he tells them in John chapter 4. And you've probably heard this before. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. You see, he's pointing to all these people coming running to him and saying, hey, don't keep waiting for someday. Someday is here right now. Open your eyes right now. Look who's around you. Maybe for you, it's a family member. Maybe for you, it's a classmate. Maybe for you, it's a coworker or a teammate, or maybe for you, it's a teenager who needs a little extra time, or maybe for you, it's a neighbor who just needs a little help, or maybe it's a family who's been beat up by the financial situation, or maybe it's a homeless guy you pass every day on your way to work, and you're praying daily, God, would you increase my sphere of influence? God, would you expand my territory? And sometimes God says, okay, open your eyes. You're sitting right across the table from them at breakfast. Sometimes God says, okay, open your eyes. You share a locker with them every single day. Sometimes God says, open your eyes. They're in the next cubicle over from you. Sometimes God says, open your eyes. You pass them every day sitting on the sidewalk as you walk into your office. And we pray that prayer, God, expand my territory. God says, okay, open your eyes. They're just down the assembly line from you. Open your eyes. They're sitting in a nursing home waiting for you to come visit. Open your eyes. They're sitting on the couch holding a basketball waiting for you to get home to play with them. Open your eyes. I mean, sometimes when we pray this prayer, we simply need to pray, God, open my eyes to the opportunities that are already around me. You see, God already says you have a great territory. You got to open your eyes. And you got to pray that you will see as God sees, as Jesus sees. One last thought, as we wrap up, one last thought is this: God, make my life ripple for eternity. God, make my life ripple for eternity. And I love that word ripple, because that's what, it's a great picture. It's a visible picture of jumping in with my life and making a splash, making a difference, and watching those waves go out and out and out. Because long after I'm dead and gone, I hope that wave continues to go on. Because that's how it works. You jump in and make a difference in someone's life. You touch someone's life. They touch someone's life. They touch another person's life. And on and on and on it goes. And so I prayed this prayer. God, would you expand my territory? And what God's told me, he says, that's what I want you to do. I want you to go out and make a difference for me. That's why I created you. It says it in Ephesians chapter 2. God saved you by his special favor when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation's not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago. You see, the scripture is saying this is all God's idea. The salvation thing, the spending eternity with him in heaven, it is all God's idea. There's nothing we can do to get there. It is by his grace. It is his special favor for us. And why has he done this? So that we can serve him. So that we can be his hands and feet. So that we can go out and share this message with the world. I mean, that's what he planned for us to do a long, long time ago. I mean, that's what I want to do with my life. That's what I want this church to be about. I mean, I tell you what, it's so fun to meet people in this church that are new to this church, that are excited about this church, that are passionate about what God is doing in their life. They come to me and say, Jason, I just can't stop inviting people to church. And they say, you know what? I want people to get in on what I've got. I want people to experience what I have found. And they say, you know what? It's just so exciting to me. I can't quit inviting people to come to church or my small group or Sunday morning class or men's group or whatever it may be. They say, I want everybody to get in on what I have found. I don't know about you, but that's my heart too. I want everybody to get in on what we have found. I want everybody to get in on a friendship with the creator of the universe. I want everybody to get in on having community within the church where brothers and sisters are living together, working together, realizing that we are all sinners saved by grace. I want everyone to get in on the security of knowing that no matter how bad life gets, how horrible it may seem, that God is still for you. And I want everybody to get in on the confidence of knowing that, yes, one day we will die. But God says, no, you'll live with me forever. I want everybody to get in on that. And years ago, I began praying this prayer long before I knew about Jabez. I thought Jabez was some town in South Georgia, you know? I started praying, God, would you expand my territory? Would you expand my influence? And church, let me tell you, be careful what you ask for, because he'll do it. I mean, every day I wake up and I say, God, would you put me, someone in my path? Would you put me in a place where I can make a difference in someone's life today? And I tell you, be careful what you ask for. I mean, some days I'm like, God, this is great, this is awesome. Other days I was like, God, I was just kidding today. You know, I'm a little busy, got things going on. But I pray that prayer every day, and God delivers. Just this Wednesday, I woke up at 5:45 to go work out, said my prayers, headed over there, worked out, was cleaning up in the locker room, and someone says, so you're a preacher. That's a loaded question, just so you know, all right? And so I thought, okay, here we go. And I thought about that prayer I prayed in the morning. I said, yeah, I am a preacher. And then he started in, you know, church has really hurt me. Man, I tell you, I can't tell you how many times I hear that. It breaks my heart. And he says, you know, I love what the church teaches. I love God, but I just don't want to be a part of a church. I don't want to be a part of a bunch of people who tell me how to live my life, but yet don't do it themselves. Maybe you've heard that before. And so I'm sitting here thinking, oh, okay, what do I say here? How do I apologize for hundreds and thousands of years of churches beating up on people? And so you know what I told him? I said, you know, you got a family. You got a kid. And you said you like your kid to kind of know who God is. Yeah. You know, I got a great opportunity for you. You know, this is kind of one of those things you can get just kind of a light touch and see if Christ Church, if we're any different than what you've experienced in the past. We've got this thing coming up called the Big Bunny Party. And he's like, what? I said, yeah, we got this thing called the Big Bunny Party where you can bring your son over and he can go and do some bounce houses and do an Easter egg hunt and you can have a ball and you can just check us out. You can see if we're like some other churches that you may have experienced, or if we're just a bunch of believers who realize we're all sinners saved by grace. And so, well, I'll check that out. You know what? That's why I love being a part of a church that has a vision to reach the lost. I mean, that's why we do the Big Bunny Party. That's why we do the Trunk or Treat, the Pumpkin Patch Party. We do that for opportunities to reach your lost neighbors, your coworkers, your friends at school. And I saw that opportunity and said, God, I asked you for it. You gave it to me. Thank you for my church providing an opportunity to reach the lost. You know, this guy, Simon, he prayed that prayer. Jesus showed up, changed his life. What was one of the first things that Jesus did in Simon's life? He changed his name. What did he name him? Peter, which meant what? The rock. Jesus changed him from Simon to Peter. Simon prayed this prayer, and God began to do things in his life that were incredible. Peter was a part of some of the most amazing acts in Jesus' ministry. Peter was used to do miracles. Peter was the one who stepped up first and said, I know who you are. You are Jesus. You are God's son. Peter was the one who stepped out of the boat, walked on water. And Peter was the one who would always boldly speak up. He was quick to speak but slow to think. That's why I love Peter. You know, Peter was the one who, in that garden, chopped off an ear of a soldier coming for Jesus. Peter was the one who followed Jesus to the very first trial and, yes, denied him three times. He was the only one. And Peter was the one who, on the beach, a couple days later, Jesus came to him and said, Peter, do you love me? Yes, you know I do, Jesus. Then feed my sheep. Three times Jesus asked him, do you love me? Three times he said, yes. And three times Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Because Simon, sitting on that boat, prayed that prayer. God, expand my territory. We are sitting in this room today. You are here because of what Peter prayed years ago. Because you see, when Jesus left, it was now up to Peter and the rest of these guys to deliver this message to the world of hope and forgiveness and grace and mercy. And Peter grabbed that baton and said, yes, Lord, this is what I've been praying about all my life. I cannot do it on my own, but I know if I have you in my life, you'll give me everything I need. We are here. You are here. You're going to be in heaven because Peter prayed that prayer. Church, I want to be a Peter. I want you to be a Peter. I want you in your life every day to say, God, use me to make a difference. God, place someone in my life today. And as a church, we have believed this from the very first day. In 1975, we began something at this church called Faith Promise, where we simply say, God, we are going to step out in faith and trust you and believe your promises that if we give to you, that you will multiply our gifts and you will use them and you will take care of us. We have believed in reaching the lost from day one, not only in Jacksonville, but around the world. That very first Faith Promise, we raised $11,000. We were supporting 6 missionaries at the time. Now we support nearly 30 missionaries in Jacksonville and around the world. Our budget for this is nearly $400,000. And let me tell you this, church, every single week, you are a part of life change in someone's life. Every single week, we are feeding thousands upon thousands of people through Second Harvest, Mandarin Food Bank, through all the different things that we take care of with food. And you've been a part of bringing food in. Some of you still bring food in to help people who just need a meal. I mean, you're a part of helping give someone shelter every single week, someone who is homeless. You're taking coats. You're bringing clothes and opportunities for them to have shelter down to City Rescue Mission. Every single week, you're a part of saving a child's life. A young woman comes to a point in her life where she's making a decision to abort or to keep a child, and your dollars are saving lives. Every single day over at Mandarin Christian School, a great, incredible ministry that we have right in our community. We have 581 students, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, that we get to mold and shape not just their minds, but their hearts. And so we've committed this year to hire a campus pastor on whose sole purpose at our school is to reach the lost people in our school. See, church, we believe that our dollars go to change the world and that we have been called by the Great Commission to go and make a difference. So, church, here's my challenge to you. Over the next couple days, I simply want you to take this card that you find in your bulletin this week. And I simply want you just to pray over this, because there are three different responses that we ask for you to make. First one is this: pray. Would you pray about our missions program? Would you pray for our missionaries? Would you pray for one another? And church, it's my heart that we have every one of you sign up for that. To say, yes, I can at least commit to praying daily for God's word to be spread throughout this world. And the second thing we're asking for you to do is to possibly to give. To sacrificially give above and beyond your normal tithe to help us as a church to reach people here in Jacksonville and around the world. I bet you didn't know this, but last year we gave out over $100,000 to families within our church. Your dollars have gone to help people who are in desperate need during this financial time. That's what a church is all about, helping our brothers and sisters. And so we pray that you would be a partner with us and would give to make it possible for us to continue serving and sharing the gospel. And lastly, maybe God's been calling you. Maybe God's been tugging on your heart to say, hey, it's time for me to go. It's time for me to go do something, to get my hands dirty. And we've got trips planned all throughout the year. We'd love for you to go and experience what it means to be in a different environment, a different culture, and serve people in a mighty way. So that's my prayer, that this week that you will take an opportunity to say, God, would you expand my territory? God, how can I help my church expand your territory? That's our prayer this week. And I pray that you will, just as Simon prayed, God, would you expand my territory? I pray that in your life you'll want to become a Peter, that you'll want to get off the couch or off behind the desk or away from whatever you may be doing, say, God, use my life. Use my gifts. God, I just want to be used by you. Do something incredible with my life, God. Use my life to make a difference. That's our prayer this week. Would you pray with me? God, we're just so humbled to know that you work through us. That God, from the very beginning, your plan was to reach one another through what you've done in our lives. And so, God, we just lift up that simple prayer of Jabez to you as our prayer this morning. God, would you bless me indeed? Would you expand my territory? Would you have your hand upon me? Would you keep me from evil so that I do not cause pain? God, that is our prayer. And as a church, corporately, God, we pray that you would help use us to expand your territory. We love you, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.